Good morning, everyone. My name is John.
And I am one of the pastors here. Just a welcome to you. If you are new to church or new to Jesus, a very special welcome. It can be quite the thing to walk into a place like this and not know what's going on. So if you are new, we just want to just welcome you and say that we hope and pray that something this morning continues to help you discover more about Jesus and his love for you. And if this is your church home, welcome home. So this Sunday isn't Camp Sunday, but it is the Sunday after camp. So how many people were at Move Camp this past week? Just give like a woo. All right. So Move Camp was amazing. And Maya and I got to do a whole bunch of stuff together. So I'm actually going to invite my friend Maya up here to join me. So let's give her a warm welcome as she comes on up. Well, welcome, Maya.
Thank you.
So we had a great week, didn't we?
We sure did.
Maya, what was one of your highlights from this week?
I did really enjoy watching one of our hosts get pied in the face.
Yes, it was the really slow motion giant explosion one, wasn't it?
It was.
Yes, that was incredible to see. Yeah.
How about you?
Well, my favorite moment was probably the illumination moment we did every day. So we're going to do the illumination moment one more time. So campers, for you that were here, are you ready to do an illumination? So I'm going to say illumination, you say illumination. Ready? Illumination! Very good. Very good. That was super fun. We got to do that every day. Illumination station, the illumination moment. Now, we also learned a verse from the Bible each week or each day.
That's right. Benjamin, Kevin, and Michelle let us do that.
Exactly. And that's the verse we're going to talk about today. That Jesus is the light of the world. He shines a light in the darkness, invites us to follow him, and he actually invites us into a whole kingdom of light.
That's super interesting.
Well, thank you. So as an example, to kind of help us with this, I've got my old bike light here. So there we go. Look at that light. Now, Maya, do you know what the amazing thing about light is?
What's that?
You really notice when it's gone. Huh. I thought it would be darker than this. Maya, do you think we could maybe make it a little darker in here?
I think we could do that. Malachi, could you make it a little darker in here?
Let's see what we can do. Thanks, Malachi. All right, so Maya, do you know what the amazing thing about light is?
What's that?
You really notice when it's gone. Huh. That's still not that amazing. Malachi, could you maybe bring it down one more level? Let's see if we can do this. Now, Maya, do you know what the amazing thing about light is?
No, what's that?
You really notice when it's gone. That's still not that good. You know, thank you, Malachi. I know we've got a lot of windows. The sun is sunny today, but I was really hoping we were going to make that work.
Well, what if we...
Okay, well, see, when we do that, normally we meet like a few days in advance for like the filming and there's like editing and music and all of that stuff. I don't think it would work.
But we could.
I mean, we could try it. Should we try it? Okay, so Malachi and Jack, we're going to try something different. Does that work for you guys? Okay, awesome. But we're going to need someone to help us with the video. Okay, Brian, come on up. All right, so Brian, you've got your phone with you.
Got it.
And have you ever filmed video before? You know, like camera points outward, push record. Like, have you ever done it?
No, but seriously, John, how hard could this be?
Okay. All right. Well, let's try it.
All right.
All right, I'll go out first.
Okay.
So Brian, for this part, if you don't mind just kind of filming scenery and the roads, just kind of whatever catches your eye. It's like a travel montage part.
Oh yeah, for sure. I can do that. Yeah.
Okay.
How's it going? Give us a wave, man.
Brian, you zoom in on that over there.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get it?
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's nice and close.
No, Brian, this is selfie mode. Like, you see how you see both of us?
I thought it showed both the whole time.
No, no, you gotta flip it. Otherwise, it's just you.
Seriously?
Yeah. So if you just gotta, okay. You just gotta flip it.
You ready, Maya?
Yep. If you're claustrophobic, you might want to avert your eyes closed. I told you this would work.
Maya, this is absolutely perfect. Now, do you know what the crazy thing about light is?
What?
You really notice when it's gone.
Yeah, I definitely noticed. How many fingers am I holding up?
Maya, I can't even see my hand in front of my own face. Now, in the darkness here, there's no hope of light. We're surrounded by stone. We can't see where we are. We can't see where we're going. This darkness is dark.
You know what else is amazing about dark?
What's that?
What a difference the light makes.
You're right, Maya. That even in the darkest darkness, a little light makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. Now should we get out of here?
Let's get out of here.
It was fun. There's no ice cream in the cake.
You got that right, Mike. Cheers.
Look at that bear. Do you wear a hat?
My word, I think it is. Is it? Is it talking to that moose?
Oh, that's crazy. Nobody would believe this. I am so glad we're getting this on video.
I'm so glad you got this, Brian.
Wow!
Unbelievable.
Well, that was an adventure.
Maya, that was a great idea. I think that's going to help us out a ton with this morning's message. So, yeah. Thank you, Maya. That was amazing.
Absolutely.
And Brian, thanks for doing the video. You really grew into it.
Thanks, John.
You're all. Let's give him a big hand. So Jesus said to the people, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Would you join me as we pray? So God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would you open our ears so that we could hear you really well? Would you make our hearts soft so that we would respond? And would you shape us to be people that look more like you than we do right now? We pray this in your name. Amen. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, what do you imagine? I think for many of us, we might imagine a bike light shining in a room like this. The light comes to a place that's already pretty bright. Jesus comes to the good people. Jesus comes to the nice people. Jesus is for the people who have their lives together, right? That's the light in the darkness? Well, it might be how we feel, but it's actually the opposite of what Jesus came to do. In the Old Testament, a long time before Jesus, hundreds of years before him, there was a promise that what Jesus would come to do was to be a light to those living in darkness. Isaiah 9:2, it says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. It's a promise that what Jesus would do would be a light to those in darkness, a doctor for the sick, a teacher for those who needed to learn, a guide for the lost, that Jesus came not to those with their lives together, but to those who are broken and hurting. Has life ever felt dark for you? I imagine we've had different moments of darkness. For me, darkness usually feels like a combination of shame, hopelessness, and despair. And maybe your darkness is similar, maybe yours is different. I was reading a book this week and it said that what's going on for a lot of people is that they're going bald. Not bald, but B-A-L-D, that they're experiencing burnout, anxiety, loneliness, and depression. That darkness looks like going bald. That this burnout, it's this pressure that if life is going to be good, it depends on me, so I have to keep working. Anxiety is this fear that I will never be okay, that the future isn't safe, that I'm not safe. Loneliness, this feeling that I'm the only one going through this, I am all by myself. And depression, there's no hope. It will never be good. And so maybe your darkness looks something like going bald. Maybe you feel like you're living in a cave, that there will never be any light. Maybe you've been there before. Maybe you're there now. But do you know what's amazing about the dark? Is that it shows the difference the light makes. I want to tell you this morning that if you are in the dark, if you feel hopeless, if you feel overwhelmed, if you feel alone, if you feel nervous about the future, that Jesus came as a light in the darkness, not to the people who have their lives together, but to the broken, the hurting, to those sitting in a cave with no hope of light. Jesus is the light in the darkness. Jesus has come for you. And maybe some of you here, you need to know that because you've never heard it before, that there is hope, that there is light, and that light is Jesus. And I wonder if some of you this morning need to be reminded of that. What's something that you have wanted for a long time, but you now have? What's something you wanted for a long time, but you now have? How many people were excited for summer vacation? Counting the days, you're like, oh, 6 more weeks till vacation, 5 more weeks, 3 more days, 10 more minutes. It's vacation, and now you're on summer vacation. Or maybe you were looking for a job, maybe a summer job or a full-time job, and you're looking and you're hoping and you're searching, and finally you get the job. Or maybe a friend or a girlfriend or a spouse or a fiance, that for so long you're looking and you're hoping, and finally you have it. But do you remember what it was like to not have it? For example, maybe you have a dog. Did anyone here like beg for a dog? And now you have a dog? Do you remember what it was like saying, I want a dog. If I could only have a dog, my life would be completely different if I had a dog. And now you have a dog. Do you remember that feeling of desperately wanting a dog, of begging for a dog, of knowing that your life would be better if you just had a dog? Do you remember that feeling? See, when it comes to following Jesus, sometimes we have been in the light for so long, we forget what the darkness was like. And we feel like it's always looked like this. I've always had hope. It's always been good. But that is why we have to remember what it's like to be in the dark, to remember the difference the light makes. That's why in the Old Testament, sometimes they would pile up big piles of rocks. So the Israelites come to the Red Sea, they part it, they go through, and then they pile up rocks. So that when people would walk by the rocks, they'd say, why are these rocks piled? And they would say, well, remember when God did that thing and he delivered us. That's why in something like AA, they have cake day. Remember, you weren't always like this. Remember that life is different now. That's why when we do baptisms here, we have people tell their testimony. Once I was in darkness, now I'm in light. We have to remember the difference the light makes. It's one of the biggest dangers for followers of Jesus that we forget. And so maybe what you need this morning is a reminder that Jesus is the light in the darkness. And maybe you've been in church for so long, maybe you grew up here, and you actually don't know the difference the light makes. And it's a tough thing to do, but it will be important to figure out what difference does Jesus make in your life, to realize the difference maybe that he's been making for so long that you don't remember any other way. So maybe asking, where do you have hope? Where do you have joy? Where do you have peace? And where does that come from Jesus? Where would life be different without him? See, Jesus comes as a light in the darkness, and so maybe you need to know that and you've never heard it. Maybe you need to remember it. Maybe you need to kind of realize what difference Jesus makes, that Jesus is the light in the darkness. And whoever follows him, Jesus says, will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So following Jesus, it's something that we do now and now and now. We do it again and again and again. It's not something that just happens once, but it's ongoing. It's again and every day. But like probably if we've done something 1,000 times, we don't really need Jesus, right? Like what are the things we've done 1,000 times? What are the decisions we've done 1,000 times? The meals we've eaten, the places we've gone, our like we probably don't need Jesus every moment, right? Well, I wonder maybe if 1,000 times isn't enough. I've been working in this church building as a pastor for coming up on 7 years, which means that I have driven the road from my house to this building over 1,000 times. Sometimes I drive in a car, sometimes I ride my bike. And I mentioned before, this is my old bike light. Do you know why this is my old bike light? Because it's a lying, deceiving, backstabbing betrayer of a bike light. Because even though I have come to this building over 1,000 times, even though it's bright now, in a couple of months, it's going to be dark and I'm going to need a light when I ride. And even though I've been on this road 1,000 times, I need a light every single time. And this light gives me about a 10-second warning before it turns off when the battery dies. And so I remember I was 2/3 of the way home and I'm biking and the green light just flashes and then it's off. And so I'm on the side of the road with no light on a road I've been on 1,000 times, literally 1,000 times. And I'm like, I need the light. So I replace this with a better light that gives me a 15-minute warning. This light left me in the darkness. And even though I've come here 1,000 times, I need the light every single time. It is never a good idea to bike in the darkness. And Jesus says, whoever follows me, which means that now and again and again and again, we follow Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, we have the light of life. So let me give you an example. Let's all take a deep breath. Are you ready? So breathe out the air. Now a deep one in. And out. Okay, so now that we've breathed, we don't need to breathe anymore, right? We're done. So we can just stop breathing forever. We can save some time. Well, no. Breathing is how we keep life. We keep on breathing. We keep on living. And so Jesus says, when you keep on following, you keep on having the light of life. You can't say, oh, I breathed yesterday. I'm good. You're like, no. Are you breathing today? Are you breathing right now? Will you breathe in 10 seconds? Because when you breathe, you have life. When you follow Jesus, you have light. We keep on following. And so what are the things we've done 1,000 times that maybe we think, I'm good. I've done it enough. Do we trust Jesus with only little big decisions, but we make big decisions ourselves? Or maybe it's the other way around. We can handle the little ones, but we only involve Jesus on the big ones. Maybe it's school or work or hobbies. We're like, no, I've done this enough. I can do this. Maybe there's relationships that have just fallen into a pattern. Are we not just have followed Jesus, but are we following Jesus again and again and again, learning from him to be like him? Now, this isn't a promise that everything's going to be okay. A couple months ago, maybe 2, 3, 4 months ago, I was trying to remember with Emily, I had a season and I was trying to remember if I called it crushing despair or overwhelming despair. But I think it was crushing despair. And when people asked me, how are you doing? If I was going to be honest, the answer was, I feel like I'm experiencing crushing despair. And I had this moment of walking up the stairs in our house, and I came to the second from the top stair, and all I could feel was this darkness pressing in. And it was overwhelming, and it was this sense of despair and hopelessness. And as I was getting ready for the sermon, what I actually realized is in that moment, I felt like I couldn't take one more step, because to take one more step was to step into this crushing despair. But what I actually realized as I was getting ready for the sermon is that it only felt like it was on three sides, that it wasn't completely dark, that even though it was crushing, it wasn't as dark as it could have been. And so following Jesus, it doesn't mean life is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy, but it will mean that it won't be as dark as it could have been, that Jesus is the light in the darkness. Whoever follows him will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus is the light of the world. When we follow him, we have this light, and he will actually invite us into the kingdom of light. Does anyone here like ice cream? Okay, what are some favorite flavors of ice cream? Just throw me some favorite flavors. Strawberry. Shark bite. Birthday cake. Man, there's so many flavors just flying up. This is amazing. Bubblegum. So there's so many amazing flavors of ice cream. But do you know what the problem is? To quote my friend Maya Kerr, there's no ice cream in a cave. So you can be in, I love a good cave. Like when we travel, if there's caves to go to, I will go in caves. I love caves. But the problem is that caves are great to visit, but they're terrible to live in. There's no ice cream in a cave. And so when we have this darkness and the light comes into the darkness, Jesus doesn't just show up and say, wow, you've got a terrible place here. You're just like sitting in this dark cave and you're like, yep. And he's like, wow. All right, well, let's sit here forever then. It's like, no, Jesus doesn't just shine the light in the darkness. He actually brings us out of the darkness and into the light. It's not just shining a light in the cave. He leads us out of the cave. In the book of Colossians, it says that the Father has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So God brings us out of the, not just a light in the darkness, he brings us out of the darkness, out of the cave, and he brings us not just ice cream, but an incredible way to live, a brand new kind of life. And we can experience a little bit of this now. You know when you go to an ice cream store and they're like, hey, would you like to try? Would you like to try? And they give you a little spoon. That's what life is like right now, that God is like, hey, do you want to try a little bit of hope? And you're like, oh, I like it. And he's like, if you like that, try joy. And you're like, oh, that put a smile on my face. Anyway, he's like, would you like to try peace? And you're like, oh, that's great. And we start to get these little foretastes, these little teasers of what's to come. That maybe it's a Bible verse that just hits different. It like speaks to the bottom of your soul. Maybe it's an encouragement from your friend and you're like, oh, that's a breath of fresh air. Maybe it's a moment when you're quiet and alone, but all of a sudden you don't feel lonely. These are these little tasters of what it's like to be in the kingdom of light. As Pastor Kevin said, we're in a series in the book of Revelation. And next week we're continuing, and it's exciting. There's a lot going on. But what I can tell you from the book of Revelation is we don't understand everything in it, but what we know is that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. There is no ice cream in the cave, but God loves us so much, he doesn't leave us there. He brings us out into his kingdom, and between the resurrection of Christ and his return, we are moving towards that kingdom, and one day we're going to see it in its fullness. So in Revelation chapter 21, verse 22, it says this, John is looking and he's seeing this picture of what the future is going to be. He says, I did not see a temple in this new city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. See, this is a picture of the kingdom of light, the place that we're going, that all of the broken, all of the sad, all of the hurting things will come untrue, and one day we will be in a kingdom of light. That no temple means that we can talk to God face to face, we can have that heart to heart, we can ask him everything, we hear everything from him. When the nations are living by the light of God, it's this picture of peace and justice worldwide. When we see that God is, it's not that there's no sun, it's just that there's no need for sun. Remember, these people didn't have electricity. Light at nighttime would have been crazy. And God is this incredibly bright light, that the Lamb is the lamp, that each moment of every day is illuminated by them. And the gates are never shut, meaning the invitation is open. And today, the invitation is open. So in a moment, we're going to have communion. And communion means two main things. When we read in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul teaches us, he says, two things happen when we take communion. One is that we proclaim the Lord's death. We talk about when Jesus died. So the reason that there is light in the darkness, the reason that there is hope, the reason that we aren't just sitting in the darkness is that Jesus, who was God, became human. He lived a perfect life, and though he was innocent, he died the death of a guilty man. And when he did that, he paid the price for our sin. And 3 days later, he rose again, and when he did that, he defeated the power of death. And so the reason that we don't have to go bald, the reason we don't need to be burning out or anxious or lonely or depressed is because Jesus has done it, that he has paid the price, that there is safety, there is significance, that you belong, that you matter, that what you do matters, that you are loved, that you have meaning and purpose. And Jesus is the one that has done all of this for us. So we don't need to worry about bald anymore, that there's light in the darkness. We were talking with the kids this week in camp. It's like if you find gum on the ground and you pick it up and you chew floor gum. And then your parent comes to you and says, hey, take the gum out. It's not because the parent is mean, it's because of their love for you. And so when God comes and he says, hey, you've got sin, it's the choosing of what is wrong, take that out. It's not that God is mean, he's saying it's not good for you. So take that out. I've actually got something much, much better for you. And so when we believe that Jesus came, lived, died, rose again, when we give up our sin, when we give up the choosing of our wrong and accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers, that we actually become part of his family. And so if you have never heard that before, we would love to explain more about what that means to follow Jesus. But that's the first thing that communion reminds us of, is what Jesus did as the light in the darkness. Now we have kids in the service. Kids, give me a hey-oh. We can do one more. Hey-oh. There we go. So parents, you might wonder, can my child have communion? And the answer is, it's the same as the adults. Adults, do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he has done what he said he would do? And are you following him? And if so, we welcome you to have communion. Kids, it's the same for you. So parents, you can have a conversation with your kids. If they understand what it means, we would love to have them join for communion. That's the first thing. The second thing that communion does is it proclaims Jesus' death until he comes again. What question do you ask on a really long road trip? Are we there yet? Has anyone ever asked, are we there yet? Has anyone turned to someone else and been like, is he done yet? Similar sort of thing. Communion reminds us we're not there yet. Every time we eat communion, the answer is not yet, but we're getting closer. Are we there yet? Not yet, but we're closer. Are we there yet? Not yet, but we're closer. Are we there yet? Not yet, but we're closer. Communion reminds us that between the resurrection and the return, we're on the journey. This is food for the journey. It's a reminder of the hope. We're not there yet. We're going there, and we're closer than we've ever been. So are we there yet? Not yet, but it's getting closer. So it's food for the journey. So this morning, when we take communion, it's a reminder that Jesus died and rose again. He's the light in the darkness, and it's food for the journey. Hope. We're not there yet, but we're getting closer. So before you come, maybe just a couple questions for you. Do you know Jesus? Have you had that light in the darkness? And if not, we would love to tell you more about what that could look like. We will have people at the front or in the prayer room. We would love to explain more about what that light in the darkness looks like. Maybe you need to be reminded. You've been in the light so long, you forget what the darkness is like. Maybe you need to realize that you've been in the light for so long, you don't understand the difference Jesus has made. And maybe for you, the question is, are you following Jesus? Not did you follow? Not have you followed, but are you breathing Are you following every moment, every day, right now? Are you aware of Jesus' presence? So maybe just give those questions some thought on your way forward. So what we're going to do is in a moment, we're going to invite everyone forward. I will invite the servers for communion forward now. If you have trouble with mobility, we'll bring communion out to you, so don't worry about that. But in a moment, we're going to invite everyone forward, down the sides, if you could come this way and then back to your seats through the middle. Balcony, we've got communion in the middle with Pastor Kevin and Pastor Matthew there. But it's food for the journey. Are we there yet? Not yet, but we're getting closer. So would you stand? I'm going to pray and then I'll invite you to come and get communion. So Jesus, we thank you that you are the light in the darkness. We pray that you would help us to see clearly who you are, what you're doing, what you've done, and all you plan to do. So God, would you shine bright in this moment? We pray this in your name. Amen. Would you come?